Welcome to Managing Myeloma. I'm Dr. Faith Davis. Today I wish to review incorporating MRD testing into standard practice. In this presentation, I will describe the importance of minimal residual disease in patients with multiple myeloma. I'll compare and contrast the current methodologies used to measure MRD, and I'll outline the clinical applicability and the goal of MRD testing in routine clinical practice. These are my disclosures. So with modern multiple myeloma therapy, many more patients now are achieving a complete response. Indeed, with some of the therapies, this can vary between 30% and 90% of patients who are in a CR, which is measured by morphology of the bone marrow, a negative M component, and normalization of the serum-free light chains. However, we know that many patients do unfortunately relapse, and it's postulated that this occurs because of the presence of minimal residual disease. Certainly, when we think about the biology of some of these residual cells, we can assume that they are the most resistant clones in the fact that they've survived the induction therapy that patients have had. Potentially, they have mutations that make them resistant to the therapy. They could be out of cycle and therefore don't undergo apoptosis, or they could actually be protected by the microenvironment of the bone marrow. Whatever the mechanism for their ongoing presence, certainly these cells lead to relapse, and we know that in many cases relapse is difficult to treat, and therefore we should at least try and eradicate MRD so that we can get the best outcomes for our patients. There's a lot of different methods used for testing MRD. Certainly we have the blood-based methods, such as serum-free light chains and immunofixation. We then have slightly more sensitive methods, which are based on bone marrow assessment. So this can include flow cytometry, or what's now called next generation flow cytometry, which is more sensitive than the flow cytometry, and then molecular techniques such as next generation sequencing. These technologies have different sensitivities, being able to detect between 1 in 10 to the 4 and 1 in 10 to the 6 myeloma cells compared to normal cells. In addition to this, though, we also need to think about some of the imaging techniques which may be taking account of the whole patient, such as PET CT scanning or MRI scanning. Unfortunately, at the moment, the peripheral blood technologies to assess MRD are maybe not quite sensitive enough, but certainly there's ongoing work looking at this area. So there are two commonly used techniques for MRD detection: flow cytometry and next generation sequencing molecular technology. Both of them have a number of positive and negative aspects. Certainly for the next generation sequencing, there are now a number of commercial entities which are offering this, and it is really very much a technology that which would be available in this setting due to the complexity of the technique. The current turnaround time for this technology is about a week to 2 weeks, and a diagnostic sample, i.e. a sample with the disease present in it, as well as a follow-up sample where you're querying MRD, is actually required for the sequencing technology. The flow cytometry technology, it has a quicker turnaround and can be performed whether there is a sample with tumour available or not. One of the issues around this concerns standardisation, and a number of different laboratories have a different sensitivity for this test. And so with both tests, it's actually important to know whether the test is negative or positive and what the sensitivity level of the test is, whether it's able to measure tumour cells to 1 in 10 to the 4 or to 1 in 10 to the 6. At the moment, many insurance companies will approve the flow cytometry test. There is some discussion and debate with many of the payers regarding the sequencing technology. But I think as more data becomes available and these technologies get approved by the FDA and incorporated into guidelines, then this area will be changing quite rapidly. The use for MRD testing in clinical practice is now becoming quite widespread. Certainly, the technologies are able to assess and monitor response, but there's also data now showing the prognostic value of these technologies, and there's a lot of research work going on about how these technologies can be used to monitor and potentially adapt maintenance therapy to be able to detect early relapse, and then how we can learn a little more about the biology of multiple myeloma. And so over the next few moments, I'd like to explore some of this in a little more detail. So there's now an awful lot of data showing the prognostics importance of MRD. This is some very early data where the studies mainly involved flow cytometry. And so the studies are maybe not quite as sensitive as some of the more recent technologies. In these studies, the flow cytometry had a sensitivity of 1 in 10 to the 4. But you can see from the two meta-analyses in that both of the studies showed that MRD detection was prognostic for progression-free survival and for overall survival. In more recent data, incorporating treatment with some of the newer therapies, this is an example from the IFM French study, where patients were treated with VRD and transplantation. You can clearly see that using the next generation sequencing test, which has a sensitivity in 1 in 10 to the 6, that yet again, those patients that are MRD negative have a much better progression-free and overall survival. Certainly, a number of studies have now shown that regardless of the therapy you use, if you achieve a complete response, then patients tend to do better. So again, using some data from the French study, this is comparing patients who received RVD alone or received RVD in a transplant. And the two upper curves are those patients who achieved MRD negativity. And although more patients were MRD negative with the transplant, still it did not seem to matter with respect to progression-free survival as long as they were in a complete response. Newer data has also shown that MRD is prognostic irrespective of the patient's age. So this is just an example from a UK study looking at elderly patients. And again, in elderly patients, those patients that achieve MRD negativity have a longer PFS and OS. Up until recently, many of the therapies that were able to achieve a complete response were mainly in the newly diagnosed setting. More recently, however, with the introduction of monoclonal antibodies and next-generation proteasome inhibitors, we've discovered that patients in the relapse setting are able to get better responses. And again, similar data can now be seen in the relapse setting, where patients who achieve MRD negativity have a longer progression-free survival. And again, in this instance, we're using the sequencing test, but at a level of 10 to the minus 5. I think it is important to say that MRD does play a role in those patients who are thought to be high risk. So a number of different studies define high risk in a different way. However, all of these studies show that those patients who are high risk with high risk cytogenetics, who also are MRD positive, have a poorer survival. So in these two curves from a UK study, the yellow curve is the patients who have high-risk cytogenetics but are also MRD positive. And as you can see, those patients have a particularly poor outcome, suggesting that MRD and cytogenetics are both important when assessing a patient's risk. As I mentioned earlier, though, it's important not to just talk about MRD as a positive or a negative. It's actually a continuous variable. And in this study, from the curves A and B, you can see this is progression-free survival and overall survival. But on each line is represented by the level of the depth of response. So those patients who have achieved a lower rate of disease burden have a much better overall survival. And this seems to be according to logs. So certainly if there's detectable disease at 10 to the minus 4, those patients have a better outcome than those patients that have detectable disease at 10 to the minus 3. Another nuance in the measuring of MRD is what's the best time to measure MRD. And certainly traditionally in the transplant patient setting, this has been at about 3 months post-transplant. But in the era of ongoing therapy, there's some discussion about the best time to measure MRD. And this is some data from one of the antibody studies. And you can see from these studies that as time goes on, more and more patients are able to achieve MRD negativity. And the maximum time that this may take is at about 15 months. And so depending whether you measure MRD negativity at an early time point at, say, 3 months, or at a later time point, say, the 15-month time, then you'll have a different idea about whether the patient's achieved the level of disease burden reduction you wish to achieve. There's no consensus on the best time to measure at the moment. However, there's a lot of work going on in this area. In addition, there's some discussion that those patients who remain MRD negative, so have two consecutive MRD negative tests, probably have an improved survival than those patients who just have one MRD negative test. So on the left-hand side of this slide, you can see the impact of progression-free survival just at one time point, which is a 6-month time point. And again, those patients who achieve MRD negativity have a better PFS. However, in the right-hand curve, there's been some further data added, and this is for patients at two time points, so immediately post their transplant and then 6 months into their maintenance treatment. And again, you can see that the yellow curve is those patients who are MRD negative at both time points. And those patients have the best outcome. Whereas those patients that are MRD positive at both time points, which is the red curve, have the poorest outcome. So certainly there's some degree of sophistication as we move forward with these technologies, to really ensure that we're able to give patients accurate information about their prognosis, but potentially also accurately and informatively alter patients' therapy. One of the other important areas moving forward is that currently the technologies used to measure MRD just use the bone marrow sample. And certainly we know that myeloma is Apache disease, and that it may be that just one single bone marrow is not giving the whole picture. There are some attempts to incorporate imaging into our MRD assessment, and certainly the International Myeloma Working Group have now suggested some criteria for this. I've just given a couple of examples here of patients who showed a low level of evidence of MRD positivity on flow cytometry and next generation sequencing. But when we went on to examine these patients in some further details, you could see that using PET CT scanning, we were able to identify further lesions, suggesting that we may need to have a combination of technologies to really determine whether a patient is completely MRD negative. There's currently quite a lot of work ongoing about trying to convert some of the bone marrow tests into peripheral blood tests. However, at the moment, the technology for this is not quite sensitive enough and therefore needs some further work. So what I hope I've done in the last few moments is to discuss a little bit about monitoring of response and how the new therapies induce a complete response, but importantly are able to increase the number of patients that achieve MRD negativity. There's certainly now a lot of evidence to show that being MRD negative has important prognostic value in many of the disease settings that we're treating patients in, and appears to be independent of age and of cytogenetic status. There's now a lot of work going on looking at patients who are having maintenance therapy to determine whether MRD can be used to direct this therapy, as well as whether MRD could be used as a way of detecting early relapse, especially as we now have a number of treatments which are less toxic and therefore may be able to be used to introduce early. And as I say, there's a number of important studies going on looking at whether MRD is a marker of the biology of the disease and what we can learn further in this area. To conclude, I'd like to leave you with these key takeaway points. So molecular remission and MRD is definitely a goal of therapy, and indeed it's probably a prerequisite for a cure. However, in order to achieve this cure, we do need to learn a little bit more about the MRD clone so that we can manipulate it therapeutically. And I think at the moment we need to be very conscious balancing our need to achieve MRD negativity and a cure against some of the short and longer term side effects of therapy. There's definitely a number of open questions, and as physicians we need to be aware of these. Certainly, the level of MRD that we're trying to achieve and the best method to achieve to detect this is very much at debate. I think this is particularly because of trying to standardize the technology and trying to ensure that the reports and the data that is returned to the treating physician is understandable and is helpful. And there's many working groups ongoing looking at this area, particularly between the commercial side of things and with the FDA. As I mentioned before, it is a continuous variable, and so it's therefore important to be able to know if you're using a local test, what the sensitivity of that test is. And from a very practical point of view, at the moment, I'm not sure we're using the MRD test to change therapy. We certainly can utilize it to assess prognosis. But there's a number of clinical trials that are ongoing addressing whether we could utilize MRD testing for changing therapy. And the two areas I think that are particularly important are whether if a patient is MRD negative on a number of occasions, whether this could mean we could stop maintenance therapy, or indeed if a patient is MRD positive on a number of occasions, whether this means that we should intensify therapy. And as I say, there's a number of cooperative group studies looking at this, and so hopefully there should be some answers in this area shortly. There's also a lot of work ongoing with the FDA as to whether MRD may be useful as a clinical trial endpoint rather than waiting for progression-free and overall survival. So I hope you found this activity useful, and I'd like to thank you for listening.